How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Yo, Dog Pack. Diehard Dogs. Browns backers worldwide. It is another Throwback Thursday, and I am Kenny Mack. And can you believe it? We're a third of the way through July. We're getting real close to that first preseason game. So you see me kicking around these episodes. I love talking Cleveland Browns. So, like I mentioned, I contribute to the show once in a while, but you're probably wondering, hey, what's your story, man? Well, I grew up across the lake from Cleveland in Canada, and I moved up to Ottawa, Canada, and I run the Browns Backers up here through Browns Backers Worldwide. I also sit on the leadership council that oversees all the other chapters, so you can tell I love the Browns. Throwback Thursday, though, is something that I used to do with my backers crew. So I used to just highlight by a post in my Facebook group a specific player. Throwback Thursdays now for this show, that's something that, you know, we get a chance to show some gratitude that to the dogs that grinded it out through the good, through the bad. And you know, some of the players that we've seen over the course of the time, man, they've been the good, the bad, and some of them have even been the ugly. So let's take a look at why I want to do this. First of all, we can take a look at the Browns players' history, reminisce about the plays they made, see how they're doing now, and sometimes we get to imagine and dive into, wow, what if they were on the team that we currently have? But before we get into it, let's talk about the podcast. This podcast is getting real close to 10K. So help us out. Let's hit that subscribe button. Let's hit the like button. And don't be shy, guys. Leave comments. We want to know how we're doing. You can do the same thing on social media. And you know what that is, Facebook, X, TikTok, Instagram. Leave a comment there. Tag us on it. Man, I always reply to mine on YouTube. I reply to you if I can find you on Facebook. So tag us. Last but not least, check out the website, thedogspodcast.com. And man, you're probably thinking, what can I do there? Check out the merch store. Treat yourself. I got a bunch of shirts from them. I love it. Leave a voicemail. Show us what you want to hear, what kind of topic you want to listen to. Tell us how we're doing. Leave an intro. That's how I got started. Also, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page. Now, with that, you get private access to our Discord. The Discord is an app. We talk to each other. There's a bunch of stuff that we like doing. The Dog Pack is a ton of fun. It's basically like an online Browns Backers Club. We talk about movies, music. We talk about life. We talk about the Browns, of course. Heck, I even started up my own music video party by myself. Maybe I had a little bit too many pops, but, you know, what can you do? It was a good time, and I think people got a bunch of laughs. And this is a reminder, fantasy football leagues are signing up. So hit jointhedogs.com. Now, that's how you get signed up for the fantasy leagues. They're redrafts. We did about 5 leagues of 10 people last year. We're hoping to get way more. We've also got a dynasty league going. There's a second dynasty league starting. So get in on it, guys. You guys, fingers crossed that you can get on, because I don't know how much room's left in the second dynasty league. But let's get back to Throwback Thursday. So who are we going to profile this week? It's going to be one of our longest tenured Browns, and it's probably our longest since we've been back. He is one of the more consistent players to put points on the board. He was kind of part of that decade of double decadence. So aside from Cribs, who we was consistent in kickoffs, and we know we'd return a big TD once or twice a year. And Joe Thomas, I mean, he was awesome, an all-pro performance in a long career of consecutive snaps. He was also the only player to start right from the reboot. We're talking about, guess who? Phil freaking Dawson, and he played from 99 to 2012. So let's talk about the longevity. Phil Dawson, as far as the regular season games are concerned, he's number eight all time with 305 games under his belt. And if you want to know who the actual number one guy, it's 382 games. And again, it's a kicker. That would be Morton Anderson. As far as being over 250, I think that's a great accomplishment. And there are a couple other Browns that have done it. So I'll give them their due. First of all, it's Matt Stover. He started off as a Brown in the Belichick years just before the move. There's another guy. He was here for a cup of coffee, Andy Lee. He's a punter, so also in the kicking game. He played 297 as well, tied with Matt Stover, and he played for the Browns in 2017. Now, finally, a non-kicker, Clay Matthews. We've profiled him in Throwback Thursday. He played from 1978 to 1996, which he had 278 games under his belt as a linebacker. Man, that's tough. Then one of our old dogs back in the day, in the glory days, Lou the Toe Groza, who is our Hall of Fame kicker and offensive tackle. He played from 1946 to 1967. But those days back then, they only played 12 to 14 games a season. So he had 268, but that was a real long span of games. So it basically went from tackle kicker just to into kicker. So that's why he lasted so long. And I'll mention the last guy. He also was here for a cup of coffee. He was our 1990 rental for offensive tackle. It was Lomas Brown. I don't know if you remember him. He played 263 games, one season with the Browns. So Phil Dawson has second team All-Pros two times, 2007 and 2012. He made the Pro Bowl in 2012 as well. A lot of times, I don't think he got the credit he deserved because on the teams that he was. And I know the Browns didn't have some great teams. And I told you they had some lean years for about two decades. Even when he went to the 49ers and the Cardinals, they did not have good seasons except when he was with Jim Harbaugh. They had a winning year and they had a 8-8 year, but we'll get into that. Also, he played a lot of time with other great kickers. He was around at the end of Matt Stover's career. He was around with Adam Vinatieri and David Akers and Mike Vanderjag and so on and so forth. So let's see how it all started. Our kicker supreme, he was born January 23rd, 1975. So I'm 75 guy too. Philip Drury Dawson was the son of a Baylor quarterback, and his grandfather was a high school coach. He attended Highlands High School. I should say the real name, Lake Highlands High School in Dallas, Texas. Now, it mentions he was born in Florida, but when you hear him talk, he for sure is a Texan. Pre-high school, Dawson had planned to play linebacker for the Wildcats, but then he signed up for a summer camp, and that was headed by an NFL kicker. So he hit a 49-yarder in varsity, and I think that sealed his future. His high school highlight was hitting a 52-yard bomb when time expired as he beat one of his rivals 31-28. He graduated in 1993 from the same high school as Matt Stover. And as mentioned, he was a Baltimore kicker, but we know where he started. I'll start in the land. I did find this mentioned. In his last year, he was an offensive tackle and a kicker, kind of like Lou Groza. But if you see the guy, I don't think he ever had offensive tackle stature. A preseason scrimmage injury that he got in his high school year was so bad that he thought it was season ending, but he gutted it out. And what gutting it out, he made it. Like, he was an All-American and All-Southwestern regional offensive player by Super Prep. But for some reason, found this that was super odd. So I read it. You're going to know about it. Dawson was a right-handed kicker, or right-footed kicker, and a right-handed thrower. Now, He's done high school. It's college time. He's a Texan, like I said, so guess where he went? He's a Longhorn. As a freshman, he would score 80 points. And listen to this. He tied a school record with 50 consecutive extra points. So what happened? Dawson has he made honorary All-American, leading the Longhorns in scoring. And as a junior and a senior, he was a All-American. His biggest signature moment was 1995 against the University of Virginia. He nailed a 50-yard field goal in a dramatic style to win 17-16. And the reason why I bring this up, he was going against crosswinds of 30 miles an hour. Man, sounds familiar, right? We'll talk about that in a bit. And let's get into the draft. So this was interesting note. When you're looking up players, obviously you want to look up their measurables. You want to see how they did in college, compare them against other players, basically to make your decisions. With kickers, man, it was super tough. You can see what kicks they missed, what kicks highlighted, what won things. But after a while, man, the draft stats just weren't there. So, I mean, what do you do for a kicker? I guess you just go by their accolades, and Dawson had a bunch. He was a four-year starter, so that was big time. Two-time All-American at the University of Texas. He was twice named semifinalist for Lou the Toe Groza Award as the nation's best college kicker. So that's accomplished. He also, you can take a look at the records. He had 13 school records. That's included points. So he had 339 field goals, 59. He had field goal accuracy, 74%. He hit 15 straight field goals from 1996 to 1997, scored 94 straight points in 94 to 95. He had six straight field goals of 50 yards or more. He would enter the draft in 1998, and there was no team for the Browns in 1998. So crazy to think, I took a quick look at the draft year. There's no kickers drafted that year. So what happened? Obviously, he went into the draft, came out undrafted, and another undrafted free agent that finds success. But how would it all start? Well, he would sign with the Oakland Raiders. They'd keep him around for the preseason, but that wasn't very long. Then he signed with the Patriots, but they had Adam Vinatieri, and we know how that went. He was an awesome kicker. He signed to the practice squad, and he stayed there for the year, so he never saw the field of play. This was super odd, and back then, those practice squads, they were only five players deep. So here's the story from Phil himself. The story is the Patriots thought Vinatieri was in his last year. He was a good kicker, not the Hall of Famer that he was, but he was looking for money, and free agency was going to pay him. The Patriots kept Dawson around to learn from Vinatieri. He would sign him. They would have the bonus of a reduced salary, and they would have someone that was waiting kind of in the wings for when they didn't want to pay Vinatieri. So how did it all work out? Well, Phil put it this way again. Ask Adam. I don't know what happened, but he was on a plane to Cleveland, and he was about to become a Cleveland Brown. And somehow in that plane ride, I don't know what happened, cold feet, expansionitis, Vinatieri on his way to Cleveland signed as a Patriot. Again, he re-signed, and Dawson ended up being our guy. So this was an opportunity of a lifetime. He was coming to the rebooted Browns, and he had much of a shot as anyone else to make the team.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Dog Pack, the summer's in full swing, and you guys know what that means. Omaha Steaks annual hotter than fire sale. Go to omahasteaks.com right now, and for a limited time, you guys can get big savings on great packages from Omaha Steaks for just $99. Plus, you guys can get an extra $10 off that order with promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout. So these packages with that promo code, it are essentially $89. From exquisite steaks to legendary burgers, the premium pork, the air-chilled chicken, the meatballs, the chicken wings, the appetizers, the ready-to-eat meals, the wine, everything that Omaha Steaks has to offer, Head over there today, check it out. Shop the Hotter Than Fire sale to get these exclusive savings on the mouthwatering packages that start at just $99 plus. Use that code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out for an extra $10 off your order. But hurry, because this sale is only available for a limited time. Summer always flies by, and this deal is going to fly by, so you're not going to want to miss it. Go shop today, omahasteaks.com. Use promo code DOGS at checkout for an extra $10 off your order. This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website, where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code DOGS when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs.
Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals. Save big money at Menards.
So, let's discuss what happened over his career. Well, I'm sure you want to know, when did he make his first kick? Because obviously he made the team. September 19th, 1993, Dawson kicked a 41-yard field goal against the Titans. And why are you telling me this? This was his second game, Ken. Come on. Well, they got shut out 43-0 against the Steelers. That wasn't too much to talk about. Didn't even see the field. All right, so who wants to know when he made his first kick? It actually was in the second game of his first year, September 19th, 1999. Dawson kicked a 41-yard field goal against the Titans. Why the second game? Because we got blown out so bad by the Steelers, 43-0. The offensive kicking unit didn't even see the field. The next score was, I guess, the offense. They were so woeful that Phil Dawson does hold this record. He is the first Browns to run in a touchdown. Yeah, he had the first rushing touchdown. It was against the Bengals. The Bengals lost a tight one, but Phil tried to will a win into existence when he scored 11 points of the 17 points they scored that day. And while there wasn't much to cheer about in 99, they did have some sweet, sweet revenge about that blowout that I told you from game one. The Browns did beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-19 on a last-minute field goal, and that must have ripped their heart out. Again, next year, the following year, in 2000, Phil Dawson, next game against the Steelers, he would score the last 9 points of the game and the game winner at the 2:45 mark, as the Browns would hold on to beat the Steelers in Cleveland to kick off the season 2-1. But unfortunately, due to an injury to Tim Couch, the Browns would finish 3-13. And only to have the other win that they got, he would score the 13 of the 19 points to beat the Patriots, the team that let him go. And when you put Dawson in a position to win a game, he's going to take it. Sometimes those Browns teams, they didn't have it. So the following year after that, let's see what he did with Butch Davis. I mean, they were a lot better record-wise in the first 2 years. They were close to 50%. He had way better seasons. But there's games that he struggled in, and he learned from that. I mean, he missed one against the Seattle Seahawks in the first game of the Butch Davis tenure, which could have tied the game and possibly won. He also had a great leadoff kickoff with the Titans for a last-minute win. Dawson was a huge reason that we had wins, period. Kickers, it's tough because he's had plenty of heart-stopping moments, and I'm going to kind of cut it off there as far as going season by season. The reason is kickers average about 20 to 40 attempts a year, and this guy played for 21 seasons, so it'd be a little bit monotonous. I think what we can do now is we can look at some signature moments from Phil Dawson. And I'm going to start with an awesome one. This one is a number one to a lot of people. In 2007, you guys got it right here. He was attempting a 51-yard field goal against the Ravens. This was to tie the game. There was no time left. He hits the field goal. It kicks. It kind of knuckleballs. It hits the side of the crossbar. It hits the bottom, the curved part of the crossbar, and then it bounces out. It was deemed no good, but it crossed the crossbar. It doesn't make any sense. Long story short, the refs, with no replay, replayed it. They deemed that it was good, and they made the teams come back out in the field. Well, they had to play the overtime, and Dawson ended up kicking the overtime winner, and they made a rule about this, and we'll get into it. In 2008, the Browns were playing a Monday nighter. So prime time, everybody's watching. Dramatic fashion, Dawson hits a 56-yarder with 2 minutes left to go to claim victory. And then there's my personal favorite. I know you guys love this, and many guys know this game. It was also against the Buffalo Bills. I know you remember this game. It was the Snow Bowl. There was 45-mile-per-hour gusts of wind. There was 2 inches of snow that dropped right at game time. And two things won them this game. Let's not forget Jamal Lewis. He had 163 yards rushing. Phil Dawson had he was 2 for 2 in field goals. The Bills didn't even attempt a kick because the weather was so bad. But Phil Dawson knew that stadium. And we'll get into that as well. So what was Phil's favorite game? Well, he had a favorite moment, and the highlight moment was when Drew Carey was at the game when he introduced the reboot of the team coming out in 1999 against the Steelers. Man, he said if he hears that speech that he did, he still gets goosebumps. But the one thing that he'll never forget is the new team rushing out onto the stadium was one of the most crazy roars that he've ever heard rushing onto any field in his life. You got to remember, all the high school games, all the college games, all the NFL games, that was the wildest roar that he's ever heard. And then there was his favorite game, and that was against the Atlanta Falcons. That was December 29th, 2002. The playoffs were on the line. The Browns had to win, and they needed some help, but winning was paramount. And this was a run, Willie, run game. You know, Jim Donovan's call? This was a wild affair. It was a game of 3 runs. Basically, the Browns kicked it off 10-0. Then the run that the Atlanta Falcons, they went up 16-0. And then Willie Green breaks through with about 2 minutes left in the game, a 65-yard touchdown where Donovan calls, run, really, run, down the sidelines, and he scores a touchdown. The Browns seal the game, and Dawson would chip in with about 6 points. But the reason why he remembers that game, as I told you, they ran out in 99, their first reboot of the team. The roar was very similar to what he heard when Willie was running down the sideline to clinch that playoff. And the Browns fans finally got that playoff run that they deserved. It was short-lived, but it was a play in the playoffs nonetheless. So, as a pro, what did he accomplish? He became the all-time leading field goal kicker for the Browns on October 17th, 2010, and it was against the Steelers. Phil would be in the league for 21 years, play 14 for the Browns. He played 4 for the 49ers and 2 for the Cardinals. Now, that doesn't add up because remember that first year he didn't play. So that was with the Patriots. Dawson's been quoted saying, Coach Palmer said, we're going to go start with you. Not, you're our kicker, you're our guy, we're going to start with you. So what does that tell you? I know what that tells me. It tells me one bad game, you're done, pal. It put a chip on his shoulder. Jim always describes a story, Jim Donovan that is, about Dawson's struggles in his rookie year. And there's one specific game where he was about to get cut if he didn't do well. He ended up persevering. I think he hit 3 for 4 or 4 for 4. And he is that career now. So here is the stats. As you know, we've discussed 305 games. He was 441 for 526 for 83%, and he had a long his longest field goal was 57 yards. His point afters were 518 of 531 for 97.6%. Those 1,841 points rank 14th all-time in NFL history. Not too bad for an undrafted rookie free agent that almost got cut. Heck, they even made a rule after him after that bounce-out game that we were talking about against the Ravens. All the rule states, really, the Phil Dawson rule, is that it needs to cross the crossbar and it doesn't matter where it lands. The problem with the game is that it hit one upright, hit the back end of the curve part that holds you upright and bounced back out. So if it bounced back out, that was where the discrepancy was. But as I said, it does not matter where the ball lands. On October 14th, last year, 2023, he was the co-captain, the dog pound captain against the 49ers. He played for both teams, which was cool that he got to rep that game. Also, the game was decided by a kick that wasn't hit. And that sometimes happened to us, but we won that game. And it was kind of a turning point in the season when he repped that game. So I thought that was kind of cool. But here are my thoughts on Phil. And I read a lot of articles, I saw a lot of interviews, and this is kind of what resonated with me. First of all, like a Clevelander, he had a job to do. Like a Clevelander, he went there, did it no matter what the circumstances. Got a lot of guys that got to work outside in the elements. He had to work outside in the elements. And then they just go to their home, to their family like he did, and repeated. And that was something that resonated with Cleveland fans, and he had that real respect for Cleveland and the fans. He can tell he loves the game, and that's probably why he's in coaching right now. It's his second home, Cleveland. He has a connection with the fans, and I mean, the word that he used is that connection is unrivaled. He had the right mindset, and you got to be wired for being a kicker. You got to really love the moment, and you can tell that he did, because whenever he had the moment, he usually won. Kickers are critical. You take a look, or if you've heard anything I've said, they've lasted the longest and they score the most points, and they only get 3 points. They don't get 6 points. You need to make your kicks. That excited him. He loved kicking. He controlled his preparation with every ounce and every attention of his focus was on football. And it had to be, especially for the Cleveland Browns at that time period, because it was always a changing, evolving situation because of the way the weather is. You guys know, you guys have to prep for a game. By the time you get to tailgate, by the end of the game and walk home, you could have went through a monsoon, you could have went through a whirlwind, you could have went through a snowstorm all in one day in Cleveland. And you got to do that as a player too. He tamed that stadium. Has any kicker ever done this? He learned to read the wind. The southwest wind was the worst. And how do you gauge that? Well, he talked to the grounds crew. And he said, I need a flag just in this specific area. So they put that up for him. Then some security personnel who were ex-snipers, they taught him how to read the flags. Basically, whatever angle the flag was, he knew where to kind of deflect the ball towards what side so he could hit a field goal. Last but not least, man, the teammates and fans loved him. He was at the Orange and Brown scrimmage in 2019, and you would have thought the guy was a rock star. He came walking on the field, and people were rushing to go see him. And I, like, again, I don't want to get in the, oh, it's just a kicker mentality. But I mean, for walking on that field, you would have thought he was a three-time Super Bowl MVP winner. And I just found it unfathomable that he got that much attention. But I'm doing this podcast, so of course he deserves it. And he owes a great debt to a lot of his teammates, especially Chris Gardocki, Dave Zasadil, Ryan Pettibrandt. Those were his three main guys. So what is he doing right now? Well, I mean, you guys kind of heard it a little bit on August 19th when he was walking on the field for that Brown and Orange scrimmage. That was the day he announced his retirement after 21 seasons. So they had that kind of that ceremony before. So that was really cool to see. He's got a couple of kids. He wanted to see them in high school at that time. They're in college now. He's a hunter, and he wanted to be that Clark Griswold type of dad. Never had the chance because of the football season, so he got a lot to do with that. His actual current position now, he is the head coach and athletic director for Hyde Park High School in Austin. And now he'll be a member of the Cleveland Browns Hall of Ring of Fame, and that's why I chose him for this specific episode. So I know he'll miss the intensity of the moment. He looks like he always wants to play, kind of like Cribs, but I know he won't miss those preseason games. And that's all I got, guys. Phil Dawson was an awesome Cleveland Brown. I know a lot of people love him. Don't forget, Dogs Podcast, the redraft leagues are starting. Don't forget to join thedogs.com. Don't forget to look at thedogspodcast.com. Like this, subscribe to this, tell me how I did. Let's go, Brownies. Woo, 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 woo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.